Welcome to Reset Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities.
And bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Reset Radio. This is your host, Asif Rajput Bhatti. You are listening to Reset Radio, brought to you by ARCC and Planet FM. We got some amazing news that which is coming, and the most that I'm excited about is the Refugee Olympic Dreams trains ahead of Tokyo. We had another topics coming right up: Australia, 80 years of abusive offshore asylum processing, and the last, but not the least, Afghan flee to eastern Turkey as Taliban takes control to Yemen. So stay tuned, guys. We're gonna go and listen to this amazing Punjabi song called Loud, and once we come back, we're gonna talk about all those issues and the news that are going on. Enjoy the music. Yes.
Aao torla vi jadya te chadra vi lagya lagda baba aunda. ਉਸ ਸਪੀਕਰਾਂ ਦੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਥੋੜੀ ਜੀ ਘੱਟ ਕਰ ਲੋ ਵੀਰੇ, ਇਹ ਪਤੰਦਰ ਆਪ ਹੀ ਬਹੁਤ ਉੱਚੀ
Reset Radio. This is your host, Asif Rajput Bhatti. You were listening to the amazing song called Loud. We were talking about, before going on a break, we're going to have some amazing, interesting news coming on. And joining the Olympics is coming ahead. So squad of 29 refugees trains in Qatar ahead of competing in 12 sports at Tokyo Olympics. Full enthusiasm, passion, excitement from the refugee Olympic team has been training hard in Qatari capital Doha in preparation for Tokyo Olympics. The 29-member squad, which will compete across 12 sports at Tokyo 2021, will become the second of its kind to take part in Olympics after its debut in Rio 2016. In 2016, after the International Olympic Committee, IOC, executive board approved the team's creation of 10 athletes were selected to take part in 2016 Olympic Games. All athletes who were considered had received United Nations refugee status. A refugee, according to the UNHCR, is someone who has been forced to flee his or her country because of persecution, war, violence. We are honored to have the opportunity to make a small contribution to the inspiring journey of the refugee Olympic team. Qatar Olympic Committee President Sheikh Juan bin Hamad Al Thani said in Doha on Tuesday. The team's performance will not just inspire billions of people, but will also raise awareness about the scale of the global refugees crisis. However, in the IOC said on Wednesday that the squad has been forced to delay its departure to Japan following a COVID-19 positive case by a team official. As a consequence, it was decided that the team would currently not travel to Tokyo and will continue their training in Doha while being tested daily, the IOC said in a statement. I have a picture here. So it's Yusra Martini, who grew up near the Syrian capital Damascus, will be taking part in her second Olympics with the team. So Yusra is swimming over there, and I have another picture here where I can see, according to the UN, at the end of 2020 there were 26.4 million refugees across the world, about half of whom under age of 18. This is about coming up in the Olympics. And now I've got another story, is that Australian 8 years of abusive offshore asylum processing. Government should reject costly, harmful policy for refugees and asylum seekers. So in Sydney, other governments should reject Australia's abusive and costly offshore processing of refugees and asylum seekers. Human Rights Watch said today that July 19, 2021 is the 8th anniversary of Australian government's resumption of its offshore processing policy, which has harmed thousands of people. Denmark has passed legalization allowing the transfer of asylum seekers to offshore location, and the United Kingdom is considering such policy. Australia's abusive offshore processing policies has caused miserable suffering for thousands of vulnerable asylum seekers, said Sophie McNeil. Australia's researchers at Human Rights Watch, the cruelty of these camps, in which 7 people have committed suicide and children have been terribly traumatized, should not be replicated elsewhere. Since July 19, 2013, the Australian government has forcibly transferred more than 3,000 asylum seekers who sought to reach Australia by boat to offshore processing camps in Papua New Guinea and Nauru. Individuals and families with children spent years living substandard condition in these centers, where they suffered severe abuse, inhuman treatment and medical neglection. Under international law, immigration detention should not be used as a punishment, but rather should be an exceptional measure of last resort to carry out legitimate aim. Adult migrants should be detained for the shortest time necessary. Children should not be placed in immigration detention center. Offshore processing not only inflict human suffering, but is also costly. It is estimated that offshore processing costs the Australian government paid around 8.3 billion Australian dollars between 2014 and 2020. The annual cost of detaining a single asylum seeker in Papua New Guinea or Nauru is around 3.4 million. Wow. Refugees and asylum seekers who have been transferred to Australia for medical treatment remain in limbo with no permanent visa and little support under the threat of being returned to Papua New Guinea or Nauru at any time. At least 169 refugees transferred under the repealed Medevic legalization remain in Australia. Some refugees and asylum seekers are being held in Australia under guard in hotels in makeshift detention centres referred as alternative places of detention. Approximately 962 have been resettled to the United States under the Australia-US resettlement deal. More than 230 people remains in Papua New Guinea and Nauru. Other countries should learn from these horrors rather than repeating them, McNeil said. The Australian government should accept New Zealand's repeated offer to take some of the refugees and work toward ending offshore processing once and for all. Wow, this is some horrific news that which is coming. I think with what government is spending for one person, 3.4 million Australian dollars to detaining those, you know, refugees. What they could do is just simply allow them in and spend that money on their own citizens without, you know, spending that. And the good thing about, you know, forced migrants and refugees is that once they resettle here, they are not sitting on dole, and mostly they are, you know, going to work and paying taxes. Anyways, this is we got another news coming up, which is Afghan flee to eastern Turkey as Taliban takes control amid chaos. 28 days into their journey out of Afghanistan, a woman and her five children are sitting in the shade near bus station in Tavtan, a town offshore in Lake Van in eastern Turkey. She's waiting for a smuggler who was paid in advance to take the family to Istanbul. Tired and dirty, the younger children are playing in dust and laughing. The youngest boy wants piggyback. The smuggler is 2 days late. My husband died fighting in Taliban in Ghazni, she said. There are fierce battle there now. We used the mountain road to Iran and got stopped by Turkish soldiers at the border, but they let us go. We have walked for days. My children are getting sick. It's very difficult, she said. Chaos quickly engulfed Afghanistan following the withdrawal of US and NATO troops after 20 years of fighting against the jihadist movement. The Taliban claims to be in control of 85% of the country, kindling fears of renewed civil war. While it is too early to tell whether the militants' advance will spark fresh exodus of Afghan refugees outside the country's border, according to the UN Refugee Agency, since about 270,000 people have fled their homes and are internally displaced, bringing the toll to uprooted population within Afghanistan to more than 3.5 million people. At least some are already trying to get out. A family of 16 of Herat who left Afghanistan after a relative was killed by Taliban and were trapped for nearly 3 weeks at Istanbul's airport have been moved to repatriation center. A relative in the U.S. is unable to reach them frequently as the phones have been confiscated, and it's unclear whether the family's application for international protection is being processed. The Turkish Interior Minister did not respond to requests for more information about the family's situation. Largest number of people are also making their way overland to Iran and then Turkey. The Guardian saw at least 1,900 people crossing the border, most of whom appeared to be Afghan, traveling into Van Province over two nights of this week. Breaking up smaller groups, about 30 people, the refugees, immigrants from Afghanistan, Iran, Pakistan and Bangladesh, waited for a flashlight signal from Yukantru Gurili village, 800 meters away. A sign of path was free border guards before hurrying through the darkness. Those with enough money will try to reach Europe. Others, such as Ghazni family waiting for Tavtan, aim to find work, Turkish city. There is a spike of people crossing from Iran to Van every summer. A lot of time, the Afghan who came to already living undocumented in Pakistan and Iran. But we are watching the possible new influx thanks to U.S. troops leaving, said Makhtoum Khakan, a Van-based lawyer specializing in immigration and asylum cases. Afghans end up living in limbo here. They don't even have basic rights. The UN also stopped resettling Afghans from Turkey to the third countries back in 2013, except for extremely vulnerable cases, he said. Turkey is the world's biggest source of refugees. refugees and is home for approximately 4 million. The majority are Syrian, 3.7 million, but Afghans make up the second biggest group. In 2020, 23,000 Afghans applied for international protection in Turkey, according to data available on Director General of Immigration Management's website. Earlier this week, the Turkish Interior Ministry of spokesman Ismail Kartakçı downplayed reports of a fresh wave of refugees, saying video photographs along the line, people walking in single file alongside roads in Iran, just 700 meters from the Turkish border, did not mean they would be able to enter Turkey. So guys, this is the news for this week's refugees crisis all over the world. And we're going to go on a short music break. It's called Filhal Tu Mohabbat Akshay Kumar feat. Nurpur Sanun. And I hope you guys will love this song, because I do really love this song. And once we've come back, we have got more coming on. And let's talk about after the break. Enjoy the song called Filhal Tu Mohabbat.
एक बात बताओ तो यादों में मरते हो क्या तुम हमसे अब भी मोहब्बत करते हो एक बात बताओ तो यादों में मरते हो क्या तुम हमसे अब भी मोहब्बत करते हो तुम जिनके हो अभी उनके बारे बताना क्या है उनको तुम्हें चुप कराना तुम जिनके हो अभी उनके बारे बताना क्या आता है उनको तुम्हें चुप कराना जमीने रो रो के समंदर भर दिए क्या तुम भी रो रो के नदियां भरते हो एक बात बताओ तो यादों में मरते हो क्या तुम हमसे अब भी मोहब्बत करते हो इतना फर्क मेरी और उनकी मोहब्बत में हम तुमसे डरते थे तुम हमसे डरते हो एक बात बताओ तो यादों में मरते हो क्या तुम हमसे अब भी मोहब्बत करते हो कौन है मुझसे पूछे मेरी हम सफर हर बारी ओ तेरे नाम से पुकार बैठे उसे कई बारी ओ तेरे नाम से पुकार बैठे उसे कई बारी जो हम तेरे ना हुए उनके भी होंगे ना हम वादा करते हैं क्या तुम भी करते हो एक बात बताओ तो यादों में मरते हो
तुम हमसे अब भी मोहब्बत करते हो इतना ना करो तुम यार कि दिल तोड़ ना पड़ जाए हम जिसके हैं अभी उसे छोड़ ना पड़ जाए इतना ना करो तुम यार कि दिल तोड़ ना पड़ जाए हम जिसके हैं अभी उसे छोड़ ना पड़ जाए
तुम्हें जो भी कहना है कह दो इतना क्यों डरते हो तुम हम पे ज्यादा मरते थे या उन पे मरते हो मैं अब तो चला गया हूँ अब तो जवाब दो क्या तुम हमसे अब भी मोहब्बत करते हो
Very nice song by Filhal to Mohabbat by Akshay Kumar Feet Noorpur Sanon. And welcome back, guys. Welcome to Reset Radio. This is your host Asif Rajput Paddy. You're listening to Reset Radio brought to you by ARCC and Planet FM. We've got two great guests here with us, and we're going to talk something about why you shouldn't or should go to college, and we've got two opinions and two people who are very interested in this topic to talk about. The first one is Tabo. Say hello, Tabo.
Hi, hello everyone.
And the other one we have got Paitro. Say hello, Paitro. Hello, my name is Paitro. And yes. Welcome, Paitro and Tabo, to our podcast. And we're going to talk about why shouldn't you go to school. So I'm going to ask Paitro and Tabo that what they think about. So what do you guys think about? Do you think that you should go to college or universities or do the postgraduate program? And why you should or why shouldn't you do so, guys?
Yeah, for me, going to schooling is a play vital role in our lives. I think, yeah, I go with the schooling. I don't think that going to school is a waste of time.
We were talking about college and university. So.
Yeah, but it's all about the education that you're going to get.
For what I think is that I think it's total waste of money. And I do not think that people should go to school. Okay, so guys, we got two opinions here, and this is going to be an interesting topic, and I'm going to ask for Tabo and Paitro, why do you guys think that? So, okay, so if we, I've got some figures here, and a lot of people are saying that it's a waste of money, and what do you think, Tabo, about that? Is it really a waste of money?
No, I don't agree with you. Actually, I think that going to colleges, it's create the employment opportunities and higher income future. And like people go to college and get the higher education and go to different professions, and they could get a chance to be more professional in their lives and get higher income.
Well, I certainly do not agree with that, because it is, I think it is a waste of money, because originally I'm from the US, and when I was in the US, and the US is the current market where you actually do not need any degree to do, especially now. Also, it's been 3 or 4 years since I moved from US to New Zealand, and for me, I do not have any bachelor's degree, and I don't have formal qualification, because before I was wanted to start, I investigate that did I need to go to school. So I went on to a website, and it says that in the United States were estimated $9,400 in a state in students, and 23,890 out of the state students for public universities, and $2,000 and $410 for private university. So you can think that spending that money much assured you a job. Will it be a right decision? I said no. Never spend your money before you have earned it. And the wise person said you should have money in their hands. Think that something innovative and create it of your own. Do a startup and spend that money in the tuition fees that you're going to spend on it. Like, you know, technology, you can start your online business from your home. So certainly this is a wrong choice.
But I don't agree with you. So I'm going to ask you. So what, from your point of view, if they're all the businessmen, okay, well, they are doing their businesses, but we wouldn't have doctors, engineers, IT business, or in all the fields the people are working and doing their work, what would the society without those?
I'm not saying that everyone, you know, should just quit their job, and I'm talking about myself and my opinion. I would certainly not want any more doctors in our country. But let's be real. Do you want to be a doctor?
For me, I want to be a doctor.
Do you really want to be a doctor?
Really?
Why you
if
are
I
not?
Had,
why you are
a chance,
not becoming a doctor now?
Because I didn't have a choice.
Why you did not have a choice?
Because I went to the IT field.
This was your choice, not to being a doctor, not you. So if I tell you now, you can be a doctor and quit your IT field, what would you do?
It's not about the singular profession. I'm talking about all of them. If we are not getting the education from the colleges or the university, what we should do? From your opinion, should we all do the businesses?
Okay, I've got the very good answer for you. I'm not telling everyone you should, you know, start your own business. But what you can do is that over the years, your student loan and everything will build up to at least $100,000 after you completed your graduate or postgraduate study. So it is $100,000 debt that you need to pay, I think, in 30 or 40 years.
But it's worth it.
Do you think it's worth it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, if you want to be, if you want to study, what profession do you want to be studying?
Yeah, I'm going to the IT professional.
IT profession. Mm-hmm. So do you think in IT, do you need a degree?
Yeah. I
want
a degree.
You need a degree to start.
Yeah, to get a higher job or something like that in corporate
sector.
So
without a degree, you cannot start any working.
I can, but not everybody can.
Okay, so
it depends upon people and what they choose.
Okay, let's say that you want to study in a bachelor's in English. Your major will be English.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of job that you would do after spending that $100,000 on studying bachelor of English?
It's better to get a degree and being a professional without getting any lodging, remains at home and doing nothing like or the business stuff.
Okay, so I can answer you with two or three things with me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to study, you can study thousands and thousands and thousands free study online.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to the university or to the college and pay them a big, big amount. And after you learning those skills, you can actually apply for a job.
Mm-hmm. But you can't get all the knowledge from the internet.
And also you cannot get all the knowledge from the university as well.
That's right.
But I think internet is full of knowledge. I think university, the knowledge that they will give you will be equivalent to 1%, what is maybe less than 1% what internet can taught you. Internet can taught you how to change a tire. Internet can taught you how to become a web designer. Internet even can taught you how to do a surgery as well. But I'm not saying this is recommended, but in internet it can taught you so many things.
Also, what are you trying to say? Tell me one thing. I'm giving two conditions. In first, you are sitting at home and learning from the internet and doing all this stuff on your own. On the other second hand, you are going to the college or university, you're getting knowledge as well as you are communicating with others, participating in practical life and doing workshops and all these things. What look better to you? Sitting at home and learning and learning and doing the practical work out there.
I think what you're trying to say is that the social life is very good. I would agree with you with that.
Because in college industry, we make a sense of the study, we communicate with each other and solve problems. There are a lot of benefits of going there.
I think you are right about that. There are social, so if you are right about something, I would not argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the social life is very nice in universities. You meet new people. You find, even you could find yourself, your partner or this kind. You can spend some time on your hobbies. But I want to ask you one question. Do you think that and spending $100,000 before you earn anything, is it worth it, all that social life? And what is the guarantee of after you graduate, you will get a job? According to a website that I was reading, is that 65% fresh graduates who graduated from the university in New Zealand, they do not get a job. And 85% of those fresh graduates, they don't get a job in their faculty that they have studied. So in the numbers, only 15% of the people are getting a job in their own faculty. Do you think this is a good rate, 15%?
Yeah, but I am trying to say that if you're not getting a job, that it doesn't mean that all your education and all these things went in the waste. You could have spend all these things in other professions. You could start your own business and you could do something good to society. It doesn't mean if you're not getting the job, you're doing
bad. So what you
are
trying to say is that you should get a degree not to get to work, which does not make any sense to me. Because, you see, you are going to the university and you're going to become a doctor. And after becoming a doctor, you say that I don't want to be a doctor, I want to start my own business.
No, it's the problem that...
Okay, guys, I think you guys are getting heated at the moment. So let me jump in and make this conversation a bit more friendly. So, guys, no need to be heated up. And... I just want to ask you guys a question. Is that from the both of your point of view, is that if you want to, get an online education or online degree or any online skills, that would give you 85% more chances on getting a job at a suitable workplace. And if you're studying somewhere and it gives you 15% of chances, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think online studying is a very good option because it's according to your time and your own thinking. It's a good choice, yeah.
Well, what I think is that even Mark Zuckerberg dropped out of Harvard in 2004 during, sophomore years to work on Facebook full-time. Bill Gates, the billionaire co-founder of Microsoft, dropped his education to focus on the building of his company. And many more, Walt Disney, Dove, Charlie Daniel. There are so many people that are dropped out of school, and today they are earning billions and billions of dollars. And you can see that those people like Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, they are college dropouts and they are billions of dollars. And you know who is working for them? Those people with the degree. So degree people who come working in their company, and those dropouts earning billions while sitting at home, drinking coffee in the morning, watching the sunset, and those people are working 9 to 5 for him. What do you think about that?
Yeah. For me, online education is a good option, but if you can go to the campuses and the university, you should go, because one of the most glaring issues with online education is that you lack the communication with other students. So
okay.
Okay,
that's very good. And we're going to continue talking about more. And I'm going to talk more about the free online education, about next, and how people can get online education, and why do you think that online education is should be compulsory, or why online education should not be compulsory. We're going to hit a music called Teri Mitti, Lyrical Kesari. And let's enjoy this song and have a nice cup of coffee before we come back.
नहीं जो तेरे लिए सौ दर्द सहे महफूज रहे तेरी आन सदा चाहे जान मेरी ये रहे ना रहे वापस जा ना सका
ओ वतनावे मेरे वतनावे तेरा मेरा प्यार निराला था कुर्बान हुआ तेरी असमत पे मैं कितना नसीबों वाला था तेरी मिट्टी बनके मैं खिल जावां इतनी सी है दिल की आरजू तेरी नदियों में बह जावां तेरे खेतों में लहरावां इतनी सी है दिल की आरजू
घड़ी भर नम ना हो मैं मरता था जिस मुखड़े पे कभी उसका उजाला कम ना हो
ओ माई मेरी क्या फिक्र तुझे क्यों आंख से दरिया बहता है तू कहती थी तेरा चांद हूं मैं और चांद हमेशा रहता है तेरी मिट्टी बनके मैं खिल जावां इतनी सी है दिल की आरजू तेरी नदियों में बह जावां तेरी फसलों में लहरावां इतनी सी है दिल की आरजू
Thank you.
Welcome to Reset Radio. You were listening to Teri Mitti, one of my favorite songs by is Manoj Tanashir, I think. Welcome back, guys. Welcome to Reset Radio. This is your host, Asif Rajput Bhatti. You're listening to Reset Radio, brought to you by ARCC and Planet FM. Here with me, Tabo and Pietro. Before going on a break, we were talking about why you should or should not go to school. So, guys, what do you think about that? And tell us, you know, what you guys are thinking. Also, Planet FM needs your help. Please donate in raising fund for our Forever Home. Planet FM is on the move to the new Forever Home, a place here with our friends. We are so close to making it happen, and now we are asking for your help. Every dollar counts. So, guys, just go to Planet FM website, which is planetaudio.org.nz /donate. Please, guys, every dollars count, and this is a non-for-profit, you know, business. And if you can just donate even $1, that would be, you know, worth it. Okay, guys, we were talking about why you shouldn't go. So I've got a figure that only 3% of refugees all over the world goes to university in their age. So this is a big small numbers, and most of them, they choose professional and practical, you know, choices that they've done. And before moving on to asking Pietro and Tabo why you shouldn't go to school, I've got a small audio recording from Elon Musk. It's explaining why you shouldn't go to school. Let's hear what he has to say about it.
Things people learn, probably there's no point in learning them, because they never use them in the future. Because a lot of kids are just in school kind of puzzled as to why they're there.
Well, oftentimes business education today, and I see it all the time, kids come out of college, the best colleges, Wharton and Harvard and Stanford and some of the great business schools, and they'll come out and they won't have practical experience. There's too many case studies that aren't practical.
The people who are doing the work that we care about are figuring out what to do next, not following the person who told them what to do next. And the problem with most colleges is they are high school, but with more binge drinking.
The A students work for the B students. The C students run the businesses, and the D students dedicate the buildings.
The entire purpose of a good university is to give you a foundation to fail, not a foundation to get an A. Mm-hmm. And if you graduate from college with straight A's, you have to do some serious soul searching as to why you chose to spend your time doing that.
You know, we ask kids that are 16 to 18 years old to make $100,000 debt decisions when they go off to university. And they're not prepared for that. They don't know what they're getting themselves into. They just assume, okay, I'm going to pay 4 years of education at $25,000 a pop, and when I come out the other side, somehow I'll be able to pay it back.
Right.
That's not how life works anymore.
It's like the newspaper industry, right? More printing presses, more big buildings, right? Makes us look grander. We have brains that we're putting them out there. There's a point of diminishing returns in terms of what it's worth for a college education and how much debt you're willing to saddle yourself with.
I mean, it's actually kind of funny. You know, if you think of, like, what is education? Like, you're basically downloading data and algorithms into your brain. And it's actually amazingly bad in conventional education, because, like, it shouldn't be, like, this huge chore. You've got someone standing up there kind of lecturing at people, and they've done the same lecture 20 years in a row, and they're not very excited about it. And I mean, I hated going to school when I was a kid. It was torture.
So that's what Elon Musk and other entrepreneur has to say about, you know, going to school. Sorry, I'm not being biased. It's just, you know, Pietro asked me to play that video. And if Tabo, you have any videos in mind, you can tell me that.
No, I don't have
that.
Videos.
Okay, that's good. Okay, are we going to move on the online courses after, you know, coming back to those videos and how they've explained? And we were talking about online education and how you should or you shouldn't go and, you know, learn those skills. So, Tabo, the ball is in your room.
Yep. At the right hand, I would say that online learning is a good thing, but it it brings more disadvantage to the society.
So do you think that it brings more disadvantages?
Yeah, than
by,
the good.
I think by throat, I'm not begging with you then. Yes, definitely, this is a very different thing. Why it is not bringing any... So there are more disadvantages. Look, I want to hear about what Tabu has to say, and later on that I'm going to tell you what are the advantages of this one.
Yeah, I'm also going to give you many reasons.
Yes, tell me about
it. Okay, the first of all, I would like to tell that in online classes, the students' feedback is limited, and the student feedback is very important in the learning. In traditional classrooms, teachers can give students immediate face-to-face feedback, and students who are experiencing problems in this curriculum can resolve them quickly and directly during their lecture during the lectures rather than being online in classes.
Okay, and...
Yeah, no. What do you think about it?
Yeah, there are some points. I think there are both sides of those points. But let's hear what Paitro has to say about it. Yes, what I think is that Tabo said that you won't have, you know, enough the teacher do won't ask about that. One, my question is that why do you need a teacher in an online class? Why you can't just go online and search for the online tutorials? So first of all, I won't be using any teacher in online learning or online classes. I would go and search for a course and learn myself. What do you have to say about it?
So if we are learning online, okay, there are different types of students. Like if we're learning online, if someone wants to learn, he is doing. But in schooling and college, there is a complete system of testing and all these things. And
so basically, you are saying that your future depends on one paper or seat, which is called test.
So what do you think about those students who are not learning from the online and not taking interest in these all the options?
I'm not saying that they should come home and do not learn. This is not, I'm not talking about that they should quit college and don't learn. I'm talking about learning online versus college degree. I'm not telling them to just quit their college and just come back home. It is up to them if they want to learn or not. This is not the argument that they need to quit college. The argument is learning online versus going to school or colleges.
Okay, then I would say that one should get to the college, get a degree, and also if one get more knowledge than he could get from the internet.
I would say that there are so many benefits of learning advantages. You are saying that there is more harm than good. I would not agree with you. I would say there is the flexibility of your learning. You do not have to go to college 9 to 3 o'clock. You can wake up late, have a late breakfast. You can enjoy the life as you want. There is a possibility. You don't.
But
there
going
is a
to 9
learning.
To 5 to the university give you a sense of responsibility and you become regular.
I don't think that going 9 to 5 or 9 to 3 means a sense of responsibility. I worked last 10 years in a freelance environment. And then I think I consider myself very lucky that I did not go to school. Now I do not have any debt. And I've earned thousands and thousands of dollars by working online. And the good thing was about it that I would like to share my story and experience with you. I was a refugee and I am a forced migrant. So there was a time that when I was in a country where asylum seeker and the refugees are considered as illegal immigrants, and I did not have anywhere to go to study or to go and, you know, learn from the university. All I had to do is to go outside, find a work, clean the car, this kind of work. But I did not choose that. What I did is that I went on online and studied online. And after doing online studied, even though before completing that online program, I found a lot of projects related to this type of work. I started with writing, which was at that time I was earning, it was back in 2013, I was earning $2 an hour, that was US dollars, and I was working 40 hours a week, so around 80 US dollars I was working. At that time I was living in a third world country, and 80 US dollars in that country is a big amount, I would consider. This is the first step of me, you know, learning that. And if I had to go to university, which I could not, how would have I been earned that money?
Yeah, I am happy that it worked for you, but I don't think that it goes the same for all the students. And also, I think that ELearn tend to make participating students undergo contemplation, remoteness, and lack of interaction. So as the result, many of the students and teachers who inevitably spend much time in online learning can start experiencing signs of social isolation. What do you think that did you face all this type of thing, like or sitting and not interacting with others? Did you feel this type of isolation?
Well, I felt isolated, but what I did is that I opened my own institute. After learning that, after 1 year, I started my own institute where, you know, people can come and learn those kind of skills. So what I've done is that I opened a charity, and I've started supporting these kind of students. So I have got over 100 students in one semester, and I did not feel any kind of, you know, feel that I used to feel. So this is what I really think about. I felt for a time, but then I started my own. But you're right about that. Do you feel social, you know, isolation? But this does not mean that
Was it better to remain at the home, and like you were saying that you did, or you went to some other place or institute and doing the professional work there and collaborating and interacting with other people at your professional?
But this does not have to mean that you need to go to college or university to do that. Like, I would say there are alternatives as well. So what you could do is that you can start an apprenticeship or a job-oriented program. So you may take the theoretical and practical classes at your school level similarly, which you will get these things in college too. But, at the college level, they give you only theoretical knowledge, not practical knowledge, as they are not much interested in giving a practical ideas to students.
So what about the communication skills that you got from these institutes?
I'm not saying the communicational I got. What I got is that after working online with many of my clients, I've got those skills. That's why I was able to, you know, communicate with them. And when coming back to the apprenticeship helps you to work practical ways, which make you skilled, experienced person in the field. So it is not compulsory to go to college. There are so many training and apprenticeship are available near you which interest you of going college, which is the last year. Jacinda Ardern, the Honorable Prime Minister, announced that the apprenticeship program will be free for all New Zealanders. Why did she think about that? Why did not she tell everyone just go to the college and learn those skills? Why? Because she was being practical, and about 60% of the young adults are trained as apprenticeship in the field in their interest from our IT, construction, manufacturing, and banking jobs as well. Most of the apprenticeship lead to full-time jobs of the interest. One of the good reasons is why college isn't it. So when you are doing your apprenticeship, what you will not get is that you will have to pay big fees if you are going to college. With the apprenticeship, you will get the field practical experience. What do you think about that? So you don't have to pay anything, and your full-time job is guaranteed.
So what are you trying to say? That all the college should be closed and no one should go to the college and get a degree and just doing the practical things and practical all this just like that?
I want to say that people should go to college and mm-hmm. universities, but that
they shouldn't completely depend on their education.
I'm not saying that I'm not only supporting online. As I tell you, that apprenticeship is important as well. The point that I'm not agreeing with is going to college or universities. The point is that is if you are going to the college or the universities, the problem is that you have to pay a huge amount of fees, like 100,000 students.
But there are different schools.
And the second thing is that the college and the universities are outdated. They are outdated. Why? Because they are using the same formula. They are using the same tactics that their grandparents, their great-grandparents were using. The college and university system is ancient. It's about 100 or 150 years old. So you might get an idea. And as I was a refugee once in the country, I learned those skills not from going to college. I started high-paying job. As I said that, I started with $80 a week, and there was a time that I was earning $100 an hour by learning from online. Tell me one fresh graduate that can earn $100 online or any job that he was doing.
But you know that all the students are not born to be an entrepreneur.
Saying entrepreneur. I was not entrepreneur. I was working for a company which was paying me $100. I wasn't an entrepreneur that night. I was a freelancer. You could be called a freelancer at that time.
But not all the students can go and find these.
And what I want from the university is that they need to upgrade their student, their university. They need to provide updated information, updated programs, updated things that the practical life that could benefit a person. They need to guarantee a student that after they graduate, 80% or 90% of them who are willing to work, they will get a job in their own position. If they promise me that, I would say that colleges, but do you think that the college will ever promise anyone that they will get a 80%?
But there isn't any guarantee for anyone. What I do say that if colleges and universities don't promise you that you would get a job.
But they can provide you with numbers and facts, how many their students got a job.
But you can't promise all the students who are not going to college that
Tell me one thing. If you are starting a business mm-hmm. and you are spending $100,000 in your business, mm-hmm. and did your business will promise you that you will earn money from it?
There isn't any security or any guarantee.
But you have expectation that if you are spending $100,000, but in the later on you will get maybe $1 million from it. This is your expectation,
if you are
right?
Not looking for a job, you can start your own business.
And let me tell you one thing more. When you are learning business in the college or the university, is that the person who was teaching you the business is an employee in their college. How can he teach you a business? Answer me that.
Okay, I would agree with you at this point that the colleges should be upgraded in their
guys,
education.
I think you guys are taking it too literally. Thank you very much, guys. This is a very interesting topic, so don't be offended by what they were trying to say. And for our listener, please, guys, think about that. What do you guys think that about, should you go to college, university, should you pay that much of money to the college, or is it worth it? So it's up to you guys what you think. So thank you very much, Tabo and Paitro, for coming along and giving us such amazing podcast that
and
we
thank
have.
You and sorry if I make you offended. I was just making
no sorry too. I do not feel offended. Because it's for being disagree with something and with Paitro or anything, okay. I think it's your opinion, it's your basic right. What do you think? Paitro or you guys maybe do not agree with each other, what you guys you guys are opinion, but this does not mean that you have to be enemies. And I'm
no, definitely
no, I'm not enemy. I'm a very good friend of Tab book. This is just an everyday conversation. Yeah, so this is what I'm talking about, guys. You don't need to, if you are, you know, disagree with something, you don't have to be, you know, be enemies. So thank you very much, guys, listening to our amazing podcast, and how, you know, these two guys have amazing experience. And we're going to sign off, and we'll see you guys next week, same place, same time. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you, Tabo and Paitro, for coming over the show. Have a good day. Bye.
That was our show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5, on Planet FM 104.6.
And on the web, www.planetaudio.org.nz/resetradio.